Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, welcome back in. Hour number two. Golf is in season. Taking a little bit of getting used to the fact that we are now down to our final major of the year at Royal Portbush, I think it is, here in July. But the first tee of the Upstate, they have a lot of different things going on. Joining us is Michael Pius, the executive director of the first tee of the Upstate. Hope you're doing well, Michael.
Doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Well, listen, I mean, there are so many avenues. First of all, people can find you online at thefirsttupstate.org. There are so many different avenues that the First Tee not only does all year long, but especially at this time of the year. And first of all, you get going tomorrow up at up in Spartanburg at Woodfin Ridge Golf Club with the Women's and Seniors Men's Spartanburg County Amateur.
Yeah, that's right. We run all of the Spartanburg County Amateurs, the women's, the senior men's, the junior boys and girls next week, and then the men's division, which will be July 12th through the 14th at Carolina Country Club. So we're very happy to run those events, and it's a great way to get our brand out there, get people to see what we're all about. And it's also a little fundraiser for us too. So we've got a lot of fundraisers going on this summer and a lot of programming. So it's a busy time to be a part of the First Tee. So it's good.
Yeah, I mean, it really backs up almost next week. You got on Thursday and Friday the junior boys and girls divisions, and that will take place at Three Pines Country Club over in Spartanburg. And then in a couple of weeks in July, Friday through Sunday at the Carolina Country Club, that is, of course, the big men's division of the Spartanburg County Amateurs. So just really, you're in a month-long spill here putting on one tournament after the other.
Yeah, they're a lot of fun. Like I said, it's great to, I mean, we get kids all the way up to super seniors in the senior division starting tomorrow with the men's. I mean, so we get a lot of people finding out about what we do in the community. It's a really exciting time to be a part of the First Tee. We grew by 47% last year over 2017, and that makes us one of the fastest growing chapters in the country. We got plans to expand into Anderson County starting this fall. So it's a really fun time to be a part of the First Tee.
And one of the things I love about it, number one, it's not just about running these tournaments, because as human beings, we're competitors. We want to challenge ourselves against others. But what I love that the First Tee does, Michael, is you guys bring youngsters into the game. And it's not just about playing golf. It's about, you know, a healthy, happy physical and emotional side of things. When it comes to the physical, as you guys say, you know, the nine healthy habits of the First Tee: energy, play, safety. When it comes to the emotional, vision, mind, family. And then finally, the social component: friends, school, and community. So that's the one thing I love about the game of golf. It teaches you so much about life as well. Don't get too high, don't get too low.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, that just encompasses the whole program right in a nutshell, what you just said. I mean, for those that don't know what the First Tee is about, you know, some of your listeners might not know, but we're a youth development program first. We teach these life skills and healthy habits like you were explaining first. That's the main part. It's just a bonus that we get to teach the great game of golf right alongside it. But it's important for us. I mean, we do this program in three different kind of avenues. One is in the schools. We teach the program through physical education classes in all of the Spartanburg County elementary schools, all the elementary schools in Cherokee, and all but seven in Greenville. And then we just, District 5 in Anderson just funded all 11 schools in District 5 to start this fall. So that's a way where we reach over 55,000 kids through that program. So that's a huge program for us. And then we also have a program with like the Kroc Center in downtown Greenville. We also have a Boys and Girls Club in Gaffney that does a program called Drive, which we introduce the program to kids in after-school programming. And then the last program and the most impactful program is the one on the golf course. And that's what we call our life skills and leadership, life skills experience. And that's a program that we have a 6-to-1 ratio with kids to our coaches, our nationally trained coaches. And that's where we really make an impact on these kids' lives, where we're teaching exactly what you're talking about, all the way from the player level, which is the first level that the kids get involved in, all the way up to the ace level. And everything in between, we're teaching these life skills that are going to carry on for the rest of their lives. And hopefully we're turning them into golfers for life also.
Well, listen, as we continue with Michael Pius, Executive Director, one of the things that, you know, South Carolina people fail to realize, we have one of the most active junior golf divisions in the country. But one thing that we need more, because I see it in talking to, you know, people, we need more collegiate golfers at the female level. And your participation just in the last year has grown from 28% female to 38% female.
Yeah, that was one of our main goals going into 2018, was really to increase the number of females that we're impacting through our program. And we were lucky enough to hire Annalise Dibert, who is our outreach coordinator. She's actually an alum of the First Tee program. Mm-hmm. She started with the First Tee program in California, kind of moved around the country. Her father was in the military, and she was part of a program up outside of Washington, D.C. She went out and played in the First Tee Open at Pebble Beach twice. And then she got a college scholarship to North Greenville. And then we were able to hire her, and she's really turned into quite a mentor for our girls, and empowering them to kind of stick with the game and to learn what it means to be a golfer, and what, you know, everything that goes along with playing the game, the etiquette, the rules. Like you said, you know, golf is a tough game. So learning perseverance, you know, all of our 9 core values, it's something that is that the girls can see that in Annalise. And it's she's like a true mentor to those girls. So we've seen a huge increase in our girls golf program.
So, Michael, again, the website's the firstteeupstate.org, and there are a couple of different ways you can support. If this is something that's close and near and dear to your heart, the First Tee of the Upstate's always looking for volunteers. But I was looking at some of these donations, and one really, you know, you're always, you can take donations. Everything's right there at the First Tee Upstate. Here's some of the impact you can make for a minimal amount of money. For $80, one registration for an 8-week session for a young golfer. This one really catches my attention, is the father of a 17-year-old girl. For $100, that provides 6 background checks for coaches to ensure child safety. I mean, that's important to know who's dealing with your kids all the way up to various levels. But, you know, for 4 young people for an entire year of the program, just $1,000 for a donation.
Yeah. So we have a lot of different ways that you can get involved. You know, I kind of narrowed it down to kind of 3 things that we're looking for people that want to make an impact through our program. One is just be a sounding board in the community, like what you're doing right now, and helping us get on the air and talk about what we do in the community. The second thing is to be a volunteer. And so you can go to the firstteeupstate.org/volunteer. And if you want to make a true difference in a young person's life and get to play a little bit of golf alongside that, it's a real fun time. We make our activities fun. When we're teaching our life skills, it's seamless. You know, we're not lecturing to the kids about honesty and integrity and sportsmanship. What we're doing is teaching golf, and it just happens to teach these core values that we teach. And then the last one is to get involved financially. And like you said, you know, there's donation levels from $80 all the way up to $10,000. If you wanted to get your company involved in a corporate sponsorship, we have those opportunities too. We have a lot of great events coming up, like the Spartanburg County Amateurs. We have an event coming up in August. None of the information is actually on the website yet, but it will be soon. It's our Core Values Cup, and we're going to be hosting it at Topgolf, which I know everyone is really excited about. Having Topgolf in the upstate now. So there's a lot of different activities coming around the bend that you can get involved with and a lot of different levels.
All right, Michael, let me ask you one thing related to the PGA Tour. Here we are. It's June 20th. I get it. Change is not easy on old fuddy-duddy people like me, 51 years old. I am excited the way they moved the PGA Championship up in the year. But, man, I'm having a little bit of a hard time sitting here on June 20th going, wow, only one more major left in this PGA season. So we will we have to deal with change, but I think in the long run this will be great for the game of golf, because it always felt like maybe the PGA got a little bit caught up in the exhaust of the beginning of the NFL preseason.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, you look at, like, when Tiger won the Tour Championship last year. I mean, it was huge buzz, but can you imagine if that was, you know, a little bit earlier, if that was in August? I mean, that would have been even more of, you know, a bigger story. It wouldn't have been caught up with any NFL games or college football or anything like that. So I'm excited. Yeah, it is going to be difficult. I mean, the game of golf, it's a traditional sport, but look at the way it's changing. I mean, Tiger's now, when was the last time he wore a collared shirt, you know? I think it's a good thing. You look at things like Topgolf, you look at things like Crosswinds here in town, you know, that are some changes coming. And I love that people are investing in the game of golf right now in the upstate. It's a really exciting time. You look at Tommy Beershank at Legacy Pines, you know, buying two golf courses in the past couple of years and turning those around. The growth that we have at the first tee. I mean, when people say that the game of golf is dying, I tell them to look at the first tee and look at the numbers. I think there's going to be a lot of great players that are going to start coming out of the first tee too. We see a couple of them, like Scott Langley's on tour, and there's a few others. So I'm really excited. I'm bullish on the game of golf, obviously. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to the end of the season here, but I can't believe that it's almost over.
Well, listen, Michael, it's great catching up with you. You and Sharky, I mean, that's your probably toughest job, is having to deal with Matt. And then, of course, the great job that Annalise is doing. Congratulations, our listener. Listen, everything you really need to know is right there at thefirstteeupstate.org.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
All right. Michael Pius from The First Tee. And listen, it's a great organization. They're always looking for corporate help. And, yeah, to me, Diesel, one of the biggest things when I was preparing for that was it really took me that you got to go back and do background checks on these coaches that are working with these kids this day, because, you know, we've seen all this ugliness go on in the Big Ten within the gymnastics programs and all this stuff. You better know who's working with those kids, and they do background checks. So it's an awesome organization. Go check them out online at thefirstteeupstate.org. All right, when we come back, we'll take your phone calls at 844-GSP-ESPN. Well, let's get into this. You know, what was the worst decision? Big Ten Leaders and Legends divisions? Two home bases for the Tampa Bay Montreal Rays? The Alliance of America football of American football, or the transfer portal? I want Diesel's thoughts on this when we come back.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, welcome back in. Diesel, we like to say from time to time we put the fun in dysfunctional when it comes to our family here at ESPN Upstate. And I think it's pretty fair to say Coach Josh Phillips is part of our dysfunctional family. Is that a good way of looking at it? And he's going to be hosting for me for a few days when I'm on my second little vacation this summer next month. But Coach just got a little bit smarter. Coach Phillips did. You know, he and I talked this morning about a couple of things, but he hit me up last night and James Turns, the head coach at Blue Ridge High School. I used to do radio with him back in the day after he graduated from North Greenville, where he was an All-American offensive lineman. And, of course, you know, Josh played at North Greenville, has been on the coaching staff at Central Arkansas, Lenoir Ryan. You're in your hometown. But Coach Phillips just became a hell of a lot better coach last night. You don't know why? He'd been telling me about this kid, Grayson Loftus, that they have at Blue Ridge High School. He was in eighth grade last year, and he started for the JV, I think. He was their best quarterback in eighth grade, yet they couldn't start him at the varsity level because you can't play an eighth grader in varsity football in the state of South Carolina. And, you know, Josh is like, he's been telling me for a year, you got to watch this kid. You got to watch this kid, man. Wait until you see this kid. You know, coaches tend to hype their own prospects a little bit, so you take it with a little bit of a grain of salt. Grayson Loftus will be a ninth grade quarterback at Blue Ridge High School. He has yet to start a varsity high school football game. He got his first college scholarship offer last night from the University of Georgia. Not too shabby, huh?
Is it a good thing that they even allow schools to offer kids this young? Do you think there should be some sort of a limit? You know, allow these kids to be kids. It's fine if you want to come and look at them. That's great. You know, you have an idea, but you want to offer him coming out of his junior season. But is it a good thing that they allow this?
You know, we saw David Sills, who played wide receiver at West Virginia this year and drafted in fourth or fifth round of the draft, I believe. He was given an offer in seventh grade to play quarterback at Southern Cal. Now, again, did you hear what I just said there? Wide receiver David Sills, you know what I mean? I think you can determine at that young of an age how good somebody might be athletically. What a lot of times it is, it's a race, all right? It's a race to get the first offer in. Because how many times, even when you follow recruiting with App State, do you hear, well, team so-and-so was the first one to offer me, and they stayed on me through the entire process. So somehow, some way, that becomes important when it comes to recruiting. I don't really – that's not that important to me, who offers first. Now, also, there's one team locally that he will not get an offer from until next year, and that's Clemson, because one of the things that impressed Trevor Lawrence's dad back in the day – when Trevor Lawrence was going through the recruiting process, say come over to visit Clemson, and Dabo Swinney looked at both of them and said, hey, man, we're interested, but I'm not offering. Said, I will not offer a ninth grader. And he held true to it, and that really impressed both Trevor and Trevor Lawrence's father, and he'll remain true to that. But listen, now, like Josh says, you got to win football games because you now know the name Grayson Loftus. Again, hasn't started a high school football game, but his first offer is from Georgia. Also, they've got a running back, Rod Robinson, at Blue Ridge. So, like Josh said, man, now that the talent, and the culture is turning around, we got to win football games. And I tell you, when you've got recruitable players like Grayson Loftus and Rod Robinson, that will even make our demented, crazy cousin slash uncle, Josh Phillips, that much better of a football coach. All right, Diesel, I presented this question to you. You know, we're talking about Major League Baseball potentially having two home cities for the Tampa Bay Rays. One in Tampa to be the games to be played in the first half of the season in Tampa, and then the second half of the season in Montreal. Good idea or bad idea?
Bad idea.
All right. Do you remember when the Big Ten went and raided the University of New Jersey, otherwise known as Rutgers University, as well as the University of Maryland, to add to the Big Ten, splits into divisions, and named their divisions the Leaders and Legends Division. And 2-3 years later, nobody could tell you who was in which division. I maintain you have a little bit closer opportunity to do it with the Atlantic Coast Conference in their Coastal and Atlantic divisions, because at least they've maintained truthfulness to that. Good idea or bad idea when it comes to the Big Ten back in the day trying to be all swarmy with Legends and Leaders divisions?
Bad idea.
All right. Alliance of American Football, spring football as in general. Throw the XFL into it next year. I don't care. That remains to be seen on how that goes. But the Alliance of American Football going into the year completely underfunded like any other business. That, I'm not even going to get it. Bad idea. Bad idea. That's why you had to sell your soul to the devil in Tom Dundon, the owner of the Carolina Hurricanes, in a completely different sport, because he wanted your potential gambling technology and you didn't make it through the first year. There's no good option there. That's a bad idea. And then finally, I want to ask you, because you guys lost, people don't realize, when your team can count on a good snap on an extra point, a field goal, and a punt every single time, Diesel, that's a little bit of money in the bank in college football, correct? Your App State Mountaineers lost a snapper who's been dead on perfect to South Carolina for his senior season. To do that, he had to enter the transfer portal. Here in the last 6 months, you know, a year ago, you heard this vague explanation of what the transfer portal is. Now I think a lot of us hate it as quickly as it's come on board. Transfer portal, good idea or bad idea?
Depends on the situation.
Okay. It's just putting your personal business out there ahead of time before you have an offer for somebody else may not be the best idea. You know what I mean? Because once you enter that name, I think there's somebody for ESPN. I think there's somebody for CBS Sports and for every other sports news gathering agency. Their job is to do nothing but pay attention to the transfer portal. Because people don't announce that they're doing that. The name goes in, somebody sees it, boom. It's all over Twitter and everything else. So those are just four things I came up with off the top of my head. Of those four, Legends and Leaders, two home cities in two different countries for the Tampa Bay Rays, the Alliance of American Football, or the transfer portal, which of those is the worst idea in your opinion?
Transfer portal, probably.
Yeah, I think in the long run, because you know what? Now people are lying. You know, it's human nature to try to take advantage of things for our own individual whatever we need. And we've already seen in 1 year the transfer portal get completely out of whack. I mean, Stephen F. Austin signed four kids the other day that initially entered the transfer portal to transfer from their D1 school to another. And guess what? Scholarships became not available. Their destination when they entered the transfer portal was not to go FCS. But guess what? If you leave your current location, you best have a landing place.
Well, there needs to be a very strict rule, not dissimilar from the NBA, where it's with college basketball and the NBA. If you sign an agent, you're gone. Sorry, you can't come back. And that's the way it should be. You put your name in the hat to transfer, you can't come back. Sorry, your scholarship is gone.
Yeah,
we are going to find someone else to fill it. We are going to offer it to a guy who's already on roster that we have been wanting to promote. We just didn't have a scholarship opportunity available. So see you later. You don't want to be here. We don't want you here. You got 7 days to get your stuff out of the dorm.
Why should you be treated any differently than if you tried that with your girlfriend? You know what? I tell you what. I'm going to announce my intentions, and I'm going to go over here and look at some other females. But there's a chance I may come back to you. If you have a girl that does that, you're a loser if you take her back. You know what I mean? And vice versa. No. They are declaring their intentions to leave you for a better situation. Guess what? They do it once, they'll do it again. So the transfer portal is going to end up being one of the biggest messes that the NCAA has ever dealt with. But tonight's Instant Millionaire Night, the NBA draft, let's take a look at the top five. Also, hearing some chatter. Not about trades. Very few times out there, Diesel, do they actually have draft day workouts with a particular team. Somebody did it in the top five today, and that might affect how it plays out tonight. Give us your top five in the NBA draft tonight. Also, I went and studied the past decade. How important is the NBA draft? Again, the Toronto Raptors just won a title with not a single player that was drafted in the top 10 of the NBA draft. But there's best draft picks in every class. Let's go back and look at this decade as well. 844-GSP, ESPN.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T, or download the List app on the App Store today.
So, Diesel, what is more – all right, first of all, will you watch the NBA draft tonight, or will you be fishing or working out or
– I'll be here.
You'll be here. Okay. What do you think the color – of Zion Williamson's suit will be tonight when he walks up there as the number one pick in the NBA draft?
He'll be wearing a blue suit.
Wrong. White. Just saw it. He said that his agent said that he pops in white, so that's why the white suit. Also, this one kid, dude, I couldn't do this. One of these kids has got a watch on that's worth $22,500. Now, I get it in the grand scheme of things. That may not be too much for a watch, but it is for this guy. So, again, I say this with a little bit of self-deprecation and a little bit of jealousy. The NBA draft tonight is Instant Millionaires Night, which is instant. Let's make Sturgis upset because there becomes a lot more people out there that are wealthier than I. However, you know what? They're getting paid based off of upside on the NBA draft. None of these guys have played in an NBA game. Everything tonight, everything in the NBA NFL draft, Major League Baseball draft, is based on upside. Upside potential, not what can you get done. And that's why Zion will go number one, because a lot of people think his upside potential is generational. I still hold out on that. I think he's going to be a very good player, but I think to immediately go in and say Zion is the next LeBron is putting pressure on him, that I don't think he wants.
It's unfair. It's unfair to ask a kid to be that good. You know, we had callers earlier in the show railing on Zion for not taking the last shot. Yeah, I mean, he was the superstar. He was a superstar on that team, but it's not like R.J. Barrett was, you know, chopped liver. He's probably going to go number three. You mean you've got two top five picks on the same team and you're upset that one of them didn't take the final shot? Get out of here.
Now, I do agree with the caller earlier, and I have heard that potentially just to get rid of some space and cap that the Pelicans may throw a lot of things to try to get in back into the number two spot to get R.J. Barrett. But the reality is the one that's going to be fascinating when it comes to Duke is Cam Reddish. Because I am now seeing, you're starting to see some rumors float out there. Multiple teams have enough concern with Cam Reddish's medical information that if he's there on the board when they pick, they will not take him. I mean, you stop and think about it. Duke is in rare territory tonight when they will see two players drafted in the top 10, potentially three. I don't think there's a chance Cam Reddish goes. But it's been very few schools that have had as many as three players go in the top 10. And by that, I mean two in basketball with Zion and R.J. Barrett. And then, of course, Daniel Jones goes at number six in the NFL draft. If Cam Reddish goes in the top 10 for Duke tonight, we are talking very rarefied air in which Duke University is in when it comes to the number of people between an NBA and an NFL draft drafted in the top 10. Here's the way I have seen it is. Listen, when too many people are in disagreement, Diesel, this much agreement, something is getting ready to happen to blow things up. But when I was getting prepared for the show this morning, I looked around at a bunch of different mock drafts, and 98% of them were all in accordance with each other when it comes to the top five, and this is how they had it pegged out. Number one, Zion to the New Orleans Pelicans. Number two, Ja Morant from here in Dalzell, South Carolina. Murray State, he's going to the Memphis Grizzlies. Number three, R.J. Barrett to the New York Knicks from Duke. Number four, Jarrett Culver from Texas Tech to the New Orleans Pelicans. And then number five, DeAndre Hunter from Virginia to the Cleveland Cavaliers. And the ironic part is it's freshman, sophomore. Now, hands down, the best defensive player in this draft, and that's one of the reasons he will go in the top five, is DeAndre Hunter from Virginia. And listen, his offensive game will continue to come around at the NBA level, but he is hands down, in my opinion, the best NBA player or the best defensive player in this draft, and that's why people are looking at him in the top five. And I'm telling you, forget about maybe being an NBA all-star or this or that for Zion next year. The one thing that I could say you can probably count on out of this year's draft is DeAndre Hunter will be on the NBA all-defensive team next year. So that looks like the way the top five is going. However, when we come back, we can give you, if you will, some breaking news. We don't often see draft day workouts, but we had one today with one of these picks here in the top five. And might that be something different? Because, like I said, when everybody's in agreement like this, it's likely to go nuts. We'll tell you about that rumor. Who got worked out today by a team in the top five? It's a name you've been hearing going up the draft board. Okay, so one of the things tonight, it's not just the NBA draft, Diesel, it's also a fashion show. Who was the goober at the NFL draft that wore that like wrap that made it look like it was a guitar case or something? I think it was Devin Bush from Michigan, if I got it wrong. But anyway, it was like, who said that looks good walking out of the hotel? But I guess if you got millions of dollars as of your name being called, you can wear what you want. We can confirm Zion will be in a white suit tonight. Bol Bol. Do you recognize that name? That's Manute Bol's son, who got hurt for Oregon, that has a pretty good skill set. He's been invited to the draft tonight. He's kind of got a spider web suit going tonight, Diesel. Now, that's cool. I haven't seen it, just heard the information on it. But that would be something different, like, that's cool. But, you know, the guy that shows up, like, I don't know if you've seen one of my favorite Grisham movies, The Client. Do you know the guy, Benny the Blade, and he wears the jacket buttoned up with no shirt on, you know, and the little blade in his ear? Don't be that guy. Have at least a little bit. Because remember, somewhere down the line, once these photos are taken of you and whatever getup you have on, it's never going away. It's never going away. But we did have an interesting scenario earlier today. Again, most people, unless we see some movement, most people are in agreement. Zion Williamson, number one. Ja Morant, number two. RJ Barrett, three. Jarrett Culver, four. DeAndre Hunter, five. However, if you see something, it may be a trade that blows this thing up. Or how about this one? We can confirm earlier today the New York Knicks, who look like they're taking Duke guard forward RJ Barrett at number three, worked out the University of North Carolina guard Kobe White. Again, you don't see a whole lot of draft day workouts. And Diesel, we mentioned on Monday, that was the one name that we had heard consistently going up everybody's draft board, Kobe White from North Carolina. So pay attention to that one tonight. That could be the thing that derails, because, again, for the third time, when everybody's in agreement like this or it looks too easy to be true, usually that's the case. That's not the case, and it doesn't go that way. So that could be one big thing that flips some things. Again, the New York Knicks at number three, they did, in a draft day workout, take Kobe White. So, or did work out Kobe White. So let's go back and look. Just because you're the number one pick, like Zion Williamson's going to be tonight, doesn't mean it's the best pick in a draft. That means it's got the most upside to it. So I went back and looked at the last decade. Who were the best picks in the individual drafts this past decade? And you go back and look at last year's draft, it's got to be Luka Doncic. I mean, he's supposed to be this next guy. He goes number three. Most people will tell you Luka had a better debut season in the NBA than even LeBron James did back in 2003-2004. Now, Trae Young from Oklahoma did kind of close the gap on the Rookie of the Year race, but the best draft selection had to be in 2018, Luka Doncic. 2017, I'll challenge you. Of course, beauty's in the eyes of the beholder. But 2 years ago in the NBA draft, the best pick had to be Donovan Mitchell. Now, there may come a day when Jason Tatum proves to be a better overall pick than Donovan Mitchell, but today is simply not that day. I mean, Mitchell has responded to a slow start in his second year by averaging 26.5 points on 21 shots a game over the second half of this season. He was the 13th selection in the 2017 NBA draft, and has been good enough for roughly 22 points a game in his first two seasons. So as of right now, and it can change, they're only 2 years in the league, I think the best selection in 2017 was Donovan Mitchell. Now, 2016's best draft, we saw him come into his realm of what he could do in this year's NBA playoffs, and that's Pascal Siakam. I mean, if he is not the runaway winner for this year's NBA Most Improved Player Award, then there are people out there that shouldn't be voting anymore. He was the 27th pick of the 2016 NBA draft. And all Pascal has done is go from an off-the-bench contributor for the Toronto Raptors to a starter on a championship team, averaging 17 points a game. And he knows his role. He knows his role, and he continues to get better at his one flaw. His first year in the league, 14.3% from the three-point arc, then 22%, and got it up to 37% this year. So I've got for the best pick in the 2016 class, as of this moment, things can change, Pascal Siakam. 2015, how about Carl Anthony Towns? I mean, you got D'Angelo Russell, Kristaps Porzingis. They may have something to say about this when all said and done years from now. But right now, Carl Anthony Towns was the best and smartest decision as the first pick in the 2015 NBA draft. He has averaged a double-double every season for the Minnesota Timberwolves, and his defense really started to change in this past season. So I'll go with Carl Anthony Towns, number one draft pick for 2015, is the best pick in that draft. Then 2014, the year before, you got to go with Joel Embiid. You know, a lot. You talk about the third selection in the 2014 NBA draft who's averaged 27 points per game this past year. He can eventually contend for an MVP, and he also, he's a good defensive player as well. So, again, 2014 best pick in the draft, it was at number three. It was Joel Embiid. Of course, Giannis Antetokounmpo in 2013, taken 15th overall. Think of what he became this year. He's got one of the best nicknames in all of basketball, maybe in sports, the Greek Freak. And you go look at him. I think he'll edge out James Harden as the MVP this year in the NBA. What about 2012? How about Draymond Green? He's got to go down as one of the best bargains in NBA history. It's the 35th pick in the 2012 NBA draft, but he's been a pivotal member of the Golden State Warriors dynasty. So, yeah, Golden State got a ton of movement out of picking Draymond Green in the second round. How about Kawhi Leonard? 2011, that's got to be the best pick in that draft. We mentioned he wasn't even a top 10 pick. He was taken 15th overall in the 2011 draft. Now is a two-time NBA Finals MVP with one of those this year winning the finals. So the unfortunate thing for Kawhi Leonard, he's a little bit he doesn't really enjoy the spotlight. So you can't build this persona around him. But I tell you what, he just saves his time for play on the court. Kawhi Leonard, the best player in the 2011 NBA draft, taken number 15 overall. And then in the first year of this decade, how about Paul George? He was the 10th pick of the 2010 NBA draft. Now, granted, hadn't been able to get Oklahoma City over the hump, if you will. He's only 29 years old. He's performed like an MVP. He's won Defensive Player of the Year. So he might be one of the best two-way players in the NBA right now. So I'll give Paul George the top draft pick in the 2010 NBA draft. But we're going to see how it plays out tonight because the NBA draft is not that important in the grand scheme of things. What it is probably the best-run draft. By that, I mean you got 5-6 minutes, whatever, boom, you're done tonight. It doesn't need to be held 3 days, blah, blah, blah. But in the grand scheme of things, there's no guaranteed first-round money if you don't go in the first round. So a lot of those picks that go quickly in the second round tonight, they may not ever play in the NBA, and you just don't see that in another draft in another major league sport. All right, when we come back, Diesel, who are some of the best coaches providing these guys to the NBA in the NFL draft? What are some of the best 1-2 punches when it comes to your coaches, and that's a combination of college football and college basketball. Don't want to belittle anybody, but those are the two sports that make money at the college athletic levels. So, which schools, in your opinion, have the best 1-2 punch when it comes to coaching? We'll take a look at them because one of them on this list way down too low. We'll tell you about it in our third hour. You can get in with us at 844-GSP-ESPN. We'll also give you an update on the recruiting rankings as well.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.